Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. I'm Dan.
I am Alex. I had my thing on mute. I thought it was not muted, but...
That's all right. And you can join us if you so choose. Just call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. Or hit us up live on the Facebook stream, Facebook live stream. You can hit us up. Speaking of Facebook, head on over to our page, Behind the Screen Radio Show. Give us a like, share, and follow. That way you can be kept up to date on everything going on in BTS land. Also, head on over to Wikicuriosity Media's Facebook page. Give them a like, a share, and a follow. Kept up to date so you can be kept up to date on everything going on in their world. Head on over to our website. There is a link on all of our Facebook pages, www.wikicuriosity.website.com/WC Media. It's being updated pretty much every day. So it's getting there. So we are in the process of updating it. Also head on over to our YouTube channel, Wikicuriosity Media. There's some stuff on there that you can check out. And we are on TikTok under Wicked Angel. You can find us there. You can find all of our archive shows on blogtalkradio.com/Wikicuriosity. And also on iTunes at Wikicuriosity Media. So... it is Wednesday.
Indeed it is.
And I've been off for the last 3 days, so I have literally done absolutely nothing. I mowed the grass. That's about it. That's about all I have done over the past 3 days. I took the time to literally just sit around the house. That is it.
That's not too bad.
No. I was lazy for the past 3 days. So
that's all right. It's okay to be lazy every once in a while.
Yeah. Caught up on some TV that, you know, TV shows that I've been watching. Started a new show today. That's actually kind of interesting. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the actual show. I didn't watch it, but you've heard of the Walker Texas Ranger with Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
You know they remade it.
I did not.
Yes. They remade it with Jared Padalecki as Walker. The same basic premise, he's a Texas Ranger and all that good stuff. And I binged it for the good part of the afternoon today. And honestly, I'm impressed. I like Jared Padalecki as an actor. If you don't know who that is, you've been living under a rock. He is Sam from Supernatural, which ran for 15 seasons. He's also got a couple of other things, but he actually plays Walker in this one. I don't remember his first name because they don't say it a lot. Cordy, I think it is. Cordy Walker. But it's actually not a bad show. They focus a lot on his family and him dealing with the tragedy in his family, along with him trying to balance work and his kids and, you know, new partner and all that. And it's actually not bad. It's an interesting show. So if you can keep my attention for the first episode or two and have me binge it, then you've got a pretty decent show. So.
Yeah.
It's actually not a bad show. So.
Cool.
Speaking of TV shows, have you seen the trailer for the Hawkeye show coming to Disney Plus?
I have seen it.
What are your thoughts?
It's definitely interesting. Sorry, I got distracted. It's interesting. I don't know. So before this, you know, for those of you who don't know, I collect action figures, and I was watching a review on the like new Avengers that they had. It was like came out a couple of years ago, and there was a Kate Bishop. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's like Hawkeye's next in line sort of hero. I always thought Kate Bishop was Hawkeye's daughter. But it never clicked to me that Clint Barton and Kate Bishop have two different last names. I thought they were always related.
Right.
It turns out they're not. Kate Bishop is just a random girl that he finds. And it should be interesting. I like how they are getting a little bit more experimental with their costumes. It's not all practical use, not the special effects, but like, you know, not every costume's a skin tight leotard. You know, they're getting more adventurous with their costumes with these shows, and I kind of like it. It's getting fun, to say the least. But I'm glad Hawkeye's getting his own little story that he can kind of experiment with and show off, and we'll see how like the events of Infinity War and Endgame have affected him and his family's life, because this should turn out pretty well. So, I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. I'm actually really interested in this. It looks like it's going to be... It looks like it's bringing Hawkeye, the Hawkeye from Age of Ultron. We didn't get
kind
to
of
see,
that mentor figure.
Yeah, we didn't get to see a lot of who Hawkeye really was in the old Avengers movies, or the first Avengers movie, sorry. And we really didn't, he wasn't in Infinity War, and we saw him as Ronan. In Endgame. But they really did a lot of, we saw a little bit of him in, Civil War, but they focused a lot of who he was on in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Sorry, gotta close this up. There we go. His personality. And that's what I liked about Sorry, there's a whole bunch of stuff like going on right here. I guess
yeah.
We're getting some live. We're getting some comments on our live that's not popping up so I can see them. Don't know what is going on. For some reason, I'm not seeing our comments on the live. I don't know why. I'm having technical difficulties, maybe. I don't know. I don't know why I'm not seeing them pop up on my screen. Anyway, if you're commenting on the Facebook Live, I apologize. I'm not seeing them for whatever reason. They are not popping up with me. Get over to here. Oh. Okay. Now I see them. So. Don't know who Chuck Norris is. Avengers are fake superheroes. Superheroes always win. Go evil, go Skeletor. Okay, well, so there's that, and we have a call on the line. So give me 1 second, and I will bring this person in.
I'm on the line.
Hello, you are live on the Cinephiles. Who we're talking to?
How you doing? It's Matthew Stockwell.
What's going on, Matthew?
I've been watching your video. I've been watching your show, and I commented. Obviously, you can't see them.
I just saw them.
Yeah, my first comment is I don't know who Chuck Norris is, and I'm 46 years old.
You know what?
I don't know who this is. You were talking about some Chuck Norris guy. I don't know who Chuck Norris is, and I'm 46, and I don't know what show you're talking about. So maybe I lived in a rock. Well, I'm from Staten Island, New York, so maybe we didn't have Chuck Norris's in New York.
Well, Chuck Norris is actually a very famous martial art actor, both on the big screen and on the little screen. He fought Bruce Lee before Bruce Lee passed away. Got his ass kicked, but he fought Bruce Lee. So
I don't know who Bruce Lee is either.
Okay.
I'm not doing too well at this, I guess.
That's okay. We'll forgive you.
Okay. I didn't know John. Oh, you know, I guess I lived in a rock as a.
You're breaking up really bad.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I didn't know who John Wayne was either, so I guess I lived in Iraq as a child.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a pretty heavy rock.
It might have squished me. Maybe that's why I'm so skinny. I don't know. And then you're talking about superheroes, and I don't like superheroes because. The evil guy never wins. I like the evil people, like Skeletor. Remember in He-Man? Skeletor was the best.
Okay, so it depends on which version of He-Man you're talking about. If you're talking about the old 80s, He-Man, Skeletor was just a bumbling idiot, and we all know that, who surrounded himself by bumbling idiots. If you're looking at some of the newer versions of the Masters of the Universe and He-Man and stuff like that, there were a couple times that Skeletor did actually quote-unquote win, especially in the new Masters of the Universe by Kevin Smith. Skeletor did actually win at the end, and in the late 80s movie with Frank Langella and Dolph Lundgren, Skeletor did win there for a little bit. But the problem is, the Skeletor is overconfident.
Yes.
And He-Man's the most powerful man in the universe. That's why Skeletor never wins.
Right.
Now, they're...
Right. But how about the Avengers? They always win. That's why I don't like them. That's why I don't like Batman, Superman, because they always win. The bad guys are the better, like the Joker. The Joker's the, you know, he's a great villain, but he never wins. It's always the good guys win, and that's so boring.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that.
There's certain stories where the Joker and villains have prevailed. It's just those stories are a bit more...
Exactly.
Or not as popular.
But in the movies and the big screen, all the superheroes always win.
Well, Infinity War, they lost pretty bad.
Infinity War, they lost. If you look at the Titans TV show, you could basically say that Joker won because Joker forced Batman to break his one rule and then broke Batman, and Batman left.
Titans get their ass kicked a lot in that show, too. So
they do.
Right.
They do. And... Commentary.
All your pieces, and he's just like, what the heck? Right. And I mean, I got that, but that's why I don't, I wish in the Avengers and all these other shows that they would, the bad guy would do more than what he's doing, because he doesn't do, they fight, but it's so predictable, and I think they need to make superhero movies that are not so predictable.
And I can see where you're coming from. I really can. I think Zack Snyder's Justice League was almost there. Darkseid was almost ready to come in win. If it wasn't for Steppenwolf. If Steppenwolf hadn't been such an idiot.
Well, they technically won, but Barry Allen reversed time and fixed it.
Exactly.
I mean,
so there's a cause, you know, they may win, but then they'll find a way to reverse the roles so they could be the winner, so the good guys can win.
Right, to a point. I mean,
yeah.
Batman or Superman was killed in... Batman versus Superman. He was also killed in the comics. He was also killed on the big screen in the DC animated movie Death of Superman.
Right.
And in the comic books. So, and yeah, they found a way to bring Superman back, but to me that is evil winning. And if you look at, there are very few movies out there where evil does win. You look at Brain Scan, which is an old 90s horror movie. The quote-unquote bad guy won in that one. You look at In the Mouth of Madness, the evil actually took over the world. And if you look at Event Horizon, essentially, evil won because they literally had to blow up the ship and only one person survived. But in a sense, evil did win. So there are movies out there where evil does win, where bad guys do win, and you just don't really see the outcome of that. Especially if you look at really any slasher movie. You look at Michael, you look at Jason. These guys win in a way because they have really scarred the good guys. You look at the Rob Zombie Halloween movie.
Yeah, but they made so many. But for them, for Jason and Freddy and all that, they made so many of them that it's just repetitive.
Right.
Do you agree
still,
or no?
No, I agree. I agree that they are repetitive, but the bad guy wins because they always come back. I mean, let's take a look at Hellraiser. The priest, also known as Pinhead, is the winner in every episode. He always gets what he wants.
I've never seen that, so I don't know.
Okay. which is actually a fantastic series if you can get past some of the special effects. But it's a Clive Barker series.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's a big horror series, started in the late 80s, continuing on into the 90s. The priest always got what he wanted in the end. Even though they managed to close the box and stop the puzzle and banish them back, he always got what he wanted. So...
Is Hellraiser like The Exorcist?
No. Two totally separate things. And even in The Exorcist, he kind of won. So, horror movies are big ones where the bad guy, in the end, everything's kind of wrapped up neatly per se, but there are a lot where the bad guy gets away. You look at The Collector. The Collector, he got away. You look at Stranger.
Yeah.
They got away. And so essentially that's them winning.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. I don't mean to take up your time on your show. I just was listening to it and I just wanted to interact.
No, absolutely. We love phone calls. We love people, coming in.
Strangers did.
They did not win in the second movie, but they did win in the first movie. I just got reminded by our producer that in the second Strangers movie, they all died. But they did get away in the first one.
Okay. Like, what do you think of Final Destination? That's my favorite movie. And that's not really a horror movie. That's kind of what would you call that?
So, in a sense, for me, the entire series, so it's actually one big storyline that loops back around on itself. And to me, it is horror because it deals with the fear of death and people trying to cheat death, which none of us can do.
Right.
But I love the series. I absolutely love the series. Although the storyline is the same in every single movie, that's the plot of the entire franchise.
Right.
But for me, it's the different ways that
exactly.
they come up.
It's the interesting. Yeah. It's interesting how each movie they made it different of what the main thing they beat death, and then how each one was killed, and every one was different, and I did like that because there was no, it wasn't just, okay, obviously we know how he's going to die. It's each one was uniquely different, and I like that.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite is the barbed wire going through the kid in the second one.
Okay. I liked the suntanning girl.
Yes, that would be my second. Yeah, the two girls that were caught in the suntanning booth.
Yeah, when she was in the suntanning booth and all of a sudden it just slowly went down. Or the guy who was sitting on the ground and he fell from the shelf and he watched it fall right on him with the needles.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So, okay, well, I'm not going to take any more of your time. I just wanted to call. I got you now, so every time you're on live, it will alert me, and then I'll jump on. If you don't mind, I'll call just to interact
absolutely.
With you guys.
Absolutely. We'd love it.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys have a great night, and I like your show, and then we'll talk later.
All right. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. All right. Yeah, bye.
All right. So that was actually a really good conversation.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Alex? I know you're not a big horror movie fan, and you and I have talked both online and offline about the Final Destination series. But as a whole series, what is your thoughts?
Not a fan. I got to be honest. Not a fan. I respect the movies for, like, being different. but they're just not movies I can sit down and watch. There's just kind of silly, I guess, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's not that it's kind of hard to describe it, but like somebody dying in a tanning booth, they have safety precautions for that to where that doesn't happen. Unless death somehow can cheat that, which isn't something that you can really, unless you like blow it up, but I don't know. I just think they're kind of silly, but I just don't take them too serious. You know, I take Michael Myers serious, like scares the ever living shit out of me. Cause you know, there's just nothing to him. He just kills people.
Right.
You know, Jason and Freddy, not too much, but I still respect them. They're serious in the world of horror. But Final Destination, there's just nothing to be scared of. You know, what happens, happens in the movie. It's like they took all the deaths, you know, how, like, so many people die a day. It's like they took the most extreme ones, and then they chose it to be those people. You know, like, you can't be afraid of death because that's just going to happen. I mean, you can, but watching it happen, you just can't be afraid of a guy who is slowly getting crushed by a machine or gets shot with a nail gun because half those things, they could be accidents, and it's just, well, what can you do? You can't prevent an accident, you know? I mean,
right.
Again, when accidents happen, there's no going back and redoing them, you know? Or re-preventing them. So, just seeing something that plays out on an everyday basis doesn't really frighten me. But like I said, the serial killers, those guys, they're the ones.
Okay. And I think that could be the opposite for some people with the Final Destination series, only because they are freak accidents that happen. And, you know, while some of them are a little more over the top than others, like the fan blade going through, you know, coming from the engine, you know, the whole engine being shoved out of the car and then slicing the person in front of you, you know, cutting their head off, there's things to prevent that.
The barbed wire one, when the car explodes and that barbed wire fence goes and cuts the kid up.
Yeah.
That one is 100% preventable. Like, that's basically not even an accident. That was just somebody being stupid and lighting a cigarette near gasoline, you know?
Yeah.
And that, I think, is just, that's just like, what? I mean, yeah, the cool is, of course, pretty cool, you know? The effects and stuff, that's awesome. But just the way it played out, it's like, why would you do that? Like, that's not even death. That was your own stupidity of lighting a cigarette right next to a car crash. Like, you don't do that.
Right.
I would hope that's common knowledge that you don't light a cigarette near a crashed car because you don't know what could be wrong with it.
There are some people that are dumb enough to do
that. True. They also say don't light a cigarette at, like, gas pumps and stuff, but...
Yeah.
I've seen too many people do that, and, you know, they're fine, but it's still a danger. You know?
It's stupid. It's you've got a bunch of flammable items there. Why would you risk it?
Not even flammable, but combustible. Like, that shit will explode. Boom.
Yeah.
Don't just, you know, catch fire and just, oh, you put it out. No, it's going to explode.
Yeah.
There's no putting it out.
No, I mean, it's going to go boom.
Yeah, but it's definitely interesting. I respect that they were being different with the movies.
Okay.
I always like the endings of them, about, like, the person will see it play out, like, this last survivor will see it play out, and then it happens. Like, my favorite was always the train crash. I don't know which one that was, but the girl, she was on the train with her boyfriend or whatever, and she saw it play out, and then she started freaking out, and then she caused the train to crash. I could be wrong, but that one was always terrifying for me as a child.
So I'm trying to remember which one that was. Because the first one was the airplane.
Yeah.
Second one was the accident on the freeway.
That one was also scary.
That one was, I don't go behind log trucks at all.
Yeah, those are what I like about the movies, is the initial accident that was supposed to kill the people, and then the accident at the end that actually kills the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are fascinating, but the rest of it is just...
Well, like I said, for me, it's fascinating because it's... How many different ways can you come up with somebody to kill them with mundane objects?
Yeah. The one I always thought was funny was the oxygen tank at the car repair shop, and it, like... unloosens and it shoots and hits the guy and he gets smashed up against the fence. That one was always a fun one. Because, like, it wasn't even gross or nothing. It was just a guy flying through the air with the oxygen tank. That's kind of funny. And he smacks against the fence. I laughed when I saw that. I was like, what the hell? What did he do that for?
Pieces of his back falling out of the fence. Yeah. So... All right, we do need to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to get to tonight's show. Tonight, we are talking about movies that deserve a sequel and movies that should be remade with modern technology and better writers. So, we'll be right back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. If you missed the first half hour of the show, you actually missed a pretty good segment with one of our callers. But you can go check it out on the live stream when it's done. You can go ahead and check out the first half hour, or you can go back to blogtalkradio.com/wikicuriosity after the show's done and the audio's been processed. So, tonight, we are talking about movies that deserve a sequel or deserve a remake. So there are a bunch of movies out there that were really good, as one-off movies, but kind of deserve a little more attention. And then there are movies out there that had a good premise, had a good story, but the execution just really wasn't there and definitely deserve to be remade. And there are also movies out there that were good in their time but need to be modernized. So, and that's what we're talking about tonight. So, Alex, I'm going to go ahead and let you start. Start with one of yours and tell us what movie it is, why you think it needs a sequel or needs to be remade, and then we'll discuss.
Okay. This isn't one that I necessarily think needs it, but one that I think has gotten enough attention. Well, I've seen a lot of people talk about wanting it to have a sequel, and that would be the 2019 Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie.
Okay.
I would really, really like them to be careful with it, because there's a lot of movies that just get ruined and oversaturated with sequels, and I feel like if they make a sequel for it, then they'll be like, well, we got to make a third one to complete the story, and they'll make a third one, and then it'll be, people just be like, oh, it's just Joker doing Joker things, because Joker's an interesting character. But there's only so much that he does by himself. You know, you can make a Joker origin story. That's fine. And then you can make a sequel of him, you know, being an ass around Gotham and, you know, being Joker. But that's all really the Joker is. He's a psychotic maniac. Like, you can only do one thing with him so many times. And we have seen it. Kind of a lot, you know, with Jack Nicholson. He was a psychotic maniac that, you know, wreaked havoc on Gotham. And Heath Ledger, psychotic maniac, wreaked havoc on Gotham. Joaquin Phoenix, you know, they just got to be careful, you know. But it would be fun to see what they could do with it. Maybe make Joker more of an anarchist anti-hero kind of character.
Okay. So would you want Joaquin Phoenix to reprise his role?
Of course. You know, okay. The thing is with Joker, though, is he does things for no reason, but when you start to give Joker a reason to do things is when it loses it for me, to be honest. Because Joker, okay. He does things, A, to pester Batman. You know, they're yin and yang.
Right.
Joker just does it to piss off Batman. He also does it because he doesn't care about anything. He's just crazy. He just does things. That's why they call him the Joker. He jokes around. He doesn't care. He just blows shit up and kills people for no reason. Like, there's no reason behind the Joker. The problem I have with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker is that they're giving him a reason to do things, and it's not the Joker. You know, it's more of a crime boss in a clown costume, per se. It's like, oh, he got abandoned by the upper class and whatnot, and he has his mental things that he's dealing with. And it just kind of, it's a logical reason for what the Joker does, Joker things, because he's crazy, you know. But now I feel like they're kind of taking that old 19, like how back in like the day, if somebody had just like a small mental illness, they threw them in an insane asylum and that they just went crazy for it. That was the Joker, but now they're kind of making it a modern thing, and it's just doesn't make the Joker entertaining anymore. I don't like sympathizing with the Joker. You know, I really don't. But
right.
I get where he's coming from.
Okay. So, I'm really on the fence with that. I really loved the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix. I think he...
I did. I really did. But, God, they could just ruin the Joker's character in one movie. That's all it takes.
They could ruin it within the first 5 minutes of the movie. I don't...
Yeah, it's like they hit a home run, and now they've got the next one up the bat, and it just freaking strikes out. I feel like...
Yeah.
You just got to play your cards right. You just... I hope they don't ruin it.
Yeah, I don't... And for me, the issue would be that they would place him in some Batman universe, and they would introduce Batman, and then all of a sudden it would be less about Joker and more about Batman. This movie
exactly.
was... This movie was different because all of the focus was on the Joker. You know, that's what the focus of this movie was, and it was showing the extremes that people can go to because of mental illness and dealing with it and dealing with the ridicule. Sorry, I'm a little stuffed up tonight. And that was like one of the big major premises of this movie, but it was also showing us, you know, why this particular Joker is the way he is. Because we all know that this isn't the main Joker that we see in the comic books.
Yeah, no, this is a logical Joker. They applied real-life science to a character that is beyond comprehension.
Right.
You know,
well,
even the creator
also,
of Joker doesn't know where the Joker came from. He's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, this is also a Joker that, so in most of the backstories for Joker, we know that Batman created the Joker in some form
yeah.
or another. In this one, we know that the Joker is older than Batman because...
By a long shot. If they made the Batman and the Joker universe, it would be a ninja beating up an old man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that this, and I think that they could do a quasi Suicide Squad / Birds of Prey type movie with this, where they focus on the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of, you know, it would be Joker going up against Gotham PD.
Yeah, so that's basically the premise of Gotham, the TV show. It's literally Jim Gordon versus Batman's rogues gallery before they took on their crazy, you know, monikers.
Right.
It was Jim Gordon versus them, kind of building their origin stories as well as his. But I won't spoil anything if you're going to watch it. But it builds up to certain things.
Okay.
Highly recommend it. Long series,
so,
though.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got one for you.
Okay.
I, for the longest time, have wanted a sequel to Beetlejuice. There have been talks about it. There are rumors and there are, you know, they have had talks about having a sequel, but nothing really firm. I know that Michael Keaton and Tim Burton both want to do a sequel.
I seriously thought there was a Beetlejuice 2. I thought they already did a sequel for it.
No.
They haven't.
No. Trying to see if there's any news I mean, there's something in IMDb. But there's really nothing.
Yeah.
So, but I really, really want
okay.
I mean, they've had cartoon. They've had a cartoon about Beetlejuice. After the movie came out, and it was pretty good, but it dealt with, you know, things in the afterlife and stuff like that. But I really want to see Michael Keaton reprise his role. I know he's a little older now, but I really, really think that with today's technology, with Tim Burton. I really think, and I want Winona Ryder to reprise her role. But I really want a sequel. I do. I've wanted a sequel for a long time. I think that the first one was so good as a horror comedy. And I only say horror because it was considered a horror at its time, because it dealt with the afterlife and supernatural and ghosts and stuff like that. And there was a couple little freaky parts in there. But it was also a comedy. So I really want this. So our producer says that he wants a new Cat in the Hat live action.
Yeah, so I can see that.
The one with Michael Myers was pretty bad.
Well, for somebody of your age and generation, maybe, but for somebody like me and our producer, that movie was funny. It was kind of creepy and fun. That's the only way I can describe it, is fun, whimsical. You weren't supposed to take it too serious. It was literally a cat in a hat causing mayhem.
I just got back in my days. But so I could actually see Tim Burton doing a version of Cat in the Hat. I could honestly see that. Kind of dark, kind of creepy.
I would want Tim Burton to do Cat in the Hat. I think.
I don't know.
Who did Cat in the Hat before?
I would have to look it up. You have to give me a second. But I mean, there would be a lot of pushback because it is a Dr. Seuss story. But if we look at
Bo Welch, I don't know. It doesn't ring a bell. Bo Welch.
Yeah. A Little Princess.
He was a production designer for Beetlejuice.
And on Men in Black. He doesn't have a whole lot of, not a whole lot for director credits. Production designer, he's got quite a few. He's got Men in Black 3, Thor, Men in Black 2, Space Chimps, Wolf, Batman Returns. So he's done quite a bit of work with Tim Burton, Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands, Batman Returns. And, you know, so he has that kind of experience under his belt, but I don't know. I mean, if we look at Dumbo, the way Tim Burton did Dumbo. I mean, he knocked it out of the park.
That was fun. That was a good movie, but kind of it's a bit different. At least the way that I kind of remember it.
Right.
Cat in the Hat isn't supposed to be serious. Dumbo, that was kind of a more serious take on Dumbo. As far as Elephant with Massive Ears go, that was a more sympathetic route. You can't find too much sympathy with a Cat in the Hat in Thing 1 and Thing 2. They're kind of like the Joker. They're crazy. They just do whatever they want. They go to kids.
And I think that's why.
They go to kids with broken homes, and they're like, hey, let's mess up the house and then clean it up before your mom gets home. They're like, okay. And they do it. It's every kid's dream to just do what you want for a day. And then it just be gone when your parents get home. It's just perfectly fine, you know?
And that's why I think Tim Burton would be perfect for the story. I mean, look at Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That is true. If they take it that route instead of the Dumbo route, I think it could just be knocked out of the park. You know, but they can't. They got to be careful with the design of the Cat in the Hat.
And I agree. I agree.
The way that I'm picture Tim Burton doing a Cat in the Hat is they would probably do a CG one. And it would look like the Sonic the Hedgehog. You remember how that first turned out?
Yep. Yeah.
That's not what I want. I want a full prosthetic suit with Mike Myers and poor makeup. It's gotta look like the Grinch, and it's gotta be prosthetic.
I need
Mike Myers to sit in a makeup chair for 12 hours in a cat suit. That's what will make the movie great.
You're gonna hate me for this, but I honestly think that either Jim Carrey or Johnny Depp could pull off the cat.
Oh, they definitely could, but I just need to be
Johnny, I 100% agree with you.
That actor, I'm sorry, but you got to sit in that chair for 12 hours in that suit. You just have to. It's a law. I don't know what to tell you. CG, you just look at the movie Cats. Look at those guys. That movie was shit. I didn't even watch it. I heard that was the most worst-reviewed movie of last year. And look at the CGI on those cats. Please do not do that. I would not watch the movie. God, I hope I bet you if they do a Cat in the Hat remake or a Cat in the Hat 2, it's going to be almost all 100% CG. That'd be devastating. Even though the original Cat in the Hat had a fair amount of CGI, it had its fair share of practical and, you know, special effects.
Right.
But you just got to give respect to Mike Myers, Jim Carrey, those guys in those early 2000s movies that had to sit in those chairs for some odd hours. I get it. You don't want to sit in a chair. Same time, please. It's just
no. I agree with you 100%. I think if they did a live action Cat in the Hat reboot, I think Tim Burton should direct it. Hands down, no question. Tim Burton should direct it.
If he's careful with it, if he doesn't take it in the dark on the cat. Your parents got divorced. Sorry, kid. Let's have some fun. Here's my creepy thing one and thing twos. But if he takes the more Charlie and the Chocolate Factory route where it's like, I'm crazy. Let's tear up the house with some crazy, wacky machines.
And then put it all back together?
Yeah. Let's have an acid trip together.
And you would have to have Danny DeVito as the voice of the goldfish.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just all there is to it. Danny DeVito would have to be the voice of the goldfish. I think you could put either Johnny Depp or Jim Carrey in that role to play the cat.
So if they did go the CG route, I would love to have Johnny Depp as the voice for the cat.
Definitely.
That would just be amazing. I would love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with his experience as Jack Sparrow, who is kind of has that same attitude as the cat, where he just is, doesn't care. He does what he wants. He's a freaking pirate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I'd love that. I would pay good money to see that. I'm not gonna lie, I would.
I'd go to the theaters to see that. If it was,
especially if
he's
willing to be in a suit and makeup.
Oh yeah. You, absolutely.
I'll take your entire stock.
I'll buy it the entire theater. Come on, let's go.
That would win an Oscar.
It would definitely win an Oscar. Definitely.
If it didn't, then the Oscars are rigged.
The Oscars are rigged anyway. We already
know that.
That's
true, but like, they would be even more rigged than they already are.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for the amazing suggestion, producer. You brought back,
yeah, absolutely.
Brought back some fond memories of that, that movie. It was a great movie. I might have to go back and watch that. What's it on?
You're going to go find it now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm probably going to watch it tonight if I'm able to.
All right. So while you're doing that, I'm going to throw out another movie. This one definitely needs a remake. Just because of... So the casting for the main character was spot on. The storyline was decent. The rest of the movie was just disgustingly awful.
Okay.
I
can't think of the movie you're talking about.
Well, I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
I think DC.
Oh, Lord.
Needs to.
Remake Batman.
No. God, no. Stop remaking Batman, for God's sake. I love the character, but he is over fucking played at this point. Goddamn, stop with Batman.
Batman and Spider-Man, they're kind of getting outplayed, but
the
actors that they have now are fantastic for it.
The perfect. Tom Holland and Ben Affleck. And I never thought I'd say that, but Ben Affleck is absolutely perfect in that role, both as Bruce Wayne and Batman. Perfect.
I'm going to need that in writing.
And it's right here. It's on the air. It's live. It's solidified.
You know,
Ben Affleck,
kind of go off topic, but it's a little bit related. When I went and got my haircut yesterday, I showed the haircut person a picture of Tom Holland. I was like, yeah, I want that length and style. It's nice. She's like, okay. And so it turned out amazing. I love it.
Awesome.
But anyway.
Awesome.
The movie?
I want a live-action remake of the Green Lantern done by Zack Snyder. There, I've said it. It's out there.
You know,
it's out in the world.
I'm 100% on board. But they have to be super careful of who they choose for Green Lantern. Hal Jordan, John Stewart, and there's Guy Gardner. And then there's a couple other... But they're more sidekick Green Lanterns. Kyle Rayner, he's a big one. But there's a couple other. But the three main ones, well, I mean, the only two acceptable ones that I would take are Hal Jordan and John Stewart. And I prefer John Stewart, to be honest with you.
That was gonna be my suggestion. I want
it
them
would
to
just
do
fit in the world of Zack Snyder. You know.
Yeah. I want them to do. The John Stewart Green Lantern, I don't know who they would get to pick. Somebody?
I would want Idris Elba, but he's already in the DC Universe as Bloodsport.
Right.
Honestly, I don't know who else.
Somebody very similar to Michael B. Jordan.
Can you imagine, like, Denzel Washington or Samuel L. Jackson being John Stewart?
Oh, God. Oh, God. So, first off, they're way too old.
It's a ring, motherfucker.
Oh, God. Samuel L. Jackson already has his toe in two of the largest cinematic franchises out there.
Oh, I can't think of his name. Oh, shit. The guy from Tenet. The main character from Tenet.
Okay, hold on. I know who you're talking about. Give me 1 second.
Although, I feel like he would be a bit more soft-spoken, comedic type of Jon Stewart, but I wouldn't mind him being Jon Stewart.
You're talking about John Washington.
Yeah, him or John Boyega. Now, hear me out.
Ooh.
If John Boyega can, I'm not trying to make fun of him or nothing, but if he can really hit the gym, like, hard, like Ben Affleck did, I can see him being a younger Jon Stewart. But the thing with Jon Stewart, he's a bit older, a bit more grizzly, a bit more rough type of Green Lantern.
The biggest problem that I have with John Boyega is that he doesn't have that commanding presence that he would really need in order to portray Green Lantern. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why I say he would be a bit more younger, a bit more, honestly, he could play a Black Hal Jordan. I mean, that might be a hot take, but he has that personality to him, you know?
Yeah, see, I don't even, the problem that I have with John Boyega is that he just doesn't capture the screen. He was really supposed to in the sequel trilogy, and he just...
I don't blame that on him, though. I really
don't.
Because it's honestly in the way that he was written. Because in the first one, you can't lie. In the first one, he did capture the screen pretty well. Like, he was a force on the screen until they sidelined him, you know? And then that's all they did the rest of the two movies that he was in. Another one I'm seeing is, well, I looked up Jon Stewart fan cast, and some of these are just kind of ridiculous, and I don't know some of these actors, but this one is a tweet from somebody that I don't know. Idris Elba, like we said. Mahershala Ali, I believe I pronounced that right, but he's playing Blade in the MCU.
Okay.
So, another one is Jamie Foxx.
Again, I think he's just too seasoned of an actor.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Jamie Foxx if he can, you know, bulk up and get real mean, I guess. And then Amari Hardwick. I don't know who that is. I've probably seen him in a movie or two. But I don't know.
He was in Kick-Ass.
Okay. Yeah, see, I've seen him in a movie or two.
He was
also in the recent Army of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah. I think he could do it. Maybe.
Yeah, I just don't know who I would personally. Honestly, my top pick for Jon Stewart would be, God, there goes his name again. The guy from Tenet.
John David Washington or something like that? Hold on.
Yes.
I'll get it back. Yeah, John David Washington. I think he would do good. I think he could play Jon Stewart, yes.
Yeah. Or my top pick would be Idris Elba, but he's already been cast in the DC Universe. But my second pick would be John David Washington.
Yeah.
Hal Jordan, though. Who would you cast for Hal Jordan? You couldn't pick a lot of people for that.
Yeah, that one would be tough. I think Ryan Reynolds did a good job with what he was given.
Now hear me out. What about John Krasinski?
Ooh.
He would be, if John, we've all seen that John Krasinski can bulk up and get muscle on him.
Yeah.
But he is tall. He is They even make fun of it in The Office. He is freakishly tall, but he's not like 6'10 or nothing. I think he's like 6'2, 6'3. But
if they did the Hal Jordan, I think he would be good.
Yeah. I mean, he can be funny. He can be a smartass. He can be serious. You know,
what they need to do is they need to continue the Zack Snyder universe. They need to have, like, a Justice League 2 and have Hal Jordan come in, John Krasinski as Hal Jordan, to show up as a Green Lantern, kind of feel him out as a character. And if he does well, then they can do a solo movie for the Green Lantern. If not, then they can do an origin story for John Stewart becoming Green Lantern and bring in John David Washington.
Yeah. I like how this turned into Green Lantern fan cast. But yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see John Krasinski as a Green Lantern. Even if it isn't Zack Snyder, I would still like to see him in a superhero movie. Because he auditioned for Captain America, but he backed out on it. Which, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I like Chris Evans as Captain America. He had that...
Wow, this fan art of John Krasinski as Hal Jordan is pretty good, too.
Huh.
That's not bad. I can flip my thing around, maybe. You see?
That's not bad. I could... They would really need to redo his mask. Because I did not like the costume for... Green Lantern, but I can see John Krasinski as Hal Jordan.
Yeah, the thing is with Green Lantern, though, is he has that, I believe they call it the domino mask. It's like basically a rounded off rectangle.
Yeah.
And they had Nightwing have that mask when he first started out, and people were like, what the hell is he wearing?
Yeah.
And then they gave him the more iconic Nightwing mask, but this could turn out pretty well.
I think they could do it. Like I said, they need to introduce him if he does well.
Or that guy from... I didn't watch Supernatural. I don't know the actor's names. But the one brother in Supernatural.
Jensen Ackles? Or
yeah, I think
Jared Padalecki? The long-haired guy?
The short-haired guy.
Yeah, that's Jensen Ackles. He needs to play Batman. He just needs to play Batman.
He voices Batman in the recent animated movies. He's voicing Batman.
Yeah, and he's gone to cons, dressed up as Batman.
Yeah.
So
I've seen
him do
that. People really like him as a fan cast as Batman.
Yeah.
You know, which would be nice. I wouldn't mind that. Even people are even saying Zac Efron as Hal Jordan. I don't know how I like that, but
I don't know if I like that. I don't know. But at the same time,
I wouldn't be mad with it.
You know, we really weren't crazy about Robert Pattinson as Batman, and it's kind of growing on us.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, yeah, I'd really like to see a Green Lantern remake or something in the recent new MCU. I feel like that could really get that stigma away from that character, like it did with like Harley Quinn and stuff, because I feel like people take Harley Quinn a bit more serious now as a character. Let's say she's nuts. But, yeah, I'd like to see that.
Okay.
Honestly, you know what? It just came in my head. You know what movie series? You're going to hate it that I even mentioned this. But movie series that kind of needs a don't know, a modern touch-up would be interesting to see in modern technology is the Alien series.
So I'm not opposed to that.
We saw it with Prometheus and Covenant. That's like the most recent we've seen those. And those designs, the CG designs, looked fantastic, in my opinion. I liked them. But if we could just see them more isolated on like a ship and make it a little bit more scary, I guess.
Okay.
That would just be cool. I wouldn't be mad.
As long as they continued it within the universe that it's in, because the original Alien movie was absolutely fantastic. I know that
it doesn't require a reboot. It's not a bad movie that requires a reboot like some other movies did.
Right. It just needs a continuation. Kind of off of Covenant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one that they're making, I believe that they're making, is Scream 5.
God, come on.
I had the horrible mistake of watching Scary Movie 1 first, and then going back and watching Scream. So when I watched Scream, I was like, what the hell is this? Like, this isn't funny at all. And I didn't understand that it's supposed to be scary, and it just never scared me. And then the rest of them came out, and I just wasn't frightened by it. But I would, again, I'm like crucified for even mentioning this. The Rob Zombie Halloween movies were so gory and gruesome and scary. I would kind of like to see his take on a Scream.
So the only issue
that
I have...
character more frightening, because he's not frightening. It's just the two high schoolers playing basically a prank that gets deadly.
Right.
You know.
So that's the whole premise behind the first Scream movie. Is it was Wes Craven's take on because the first one was done by Wes Craven.
Yes.
And it was a phenomenal movie because it wasn't your typical slasher. It wasn't some supernatural being that was going around killing people because it was Halloween or because he was, burned alive by his, by the town or whatever. It was literally, there was a motive behind it because, Sydney's mom died and, whatever. But it was literally too... high school kids that had watched way too much horror in their life and, had watched too many horror movies and just kind of went crazy. And it was, excuse me, it was his take on real life scares. And while it wasn't scary per se, it was the subtle twist at the end, because it was subtle. It wasn't this big reveal that, oh, my God,
everybody was a suspect at that point in the thing.
Yeah.
And it was just,
yeah.
Who's going to take off the mask? Could it be Sydney's dad? Could it be Stu? No, it's her boyfriend.
Yeah. And it made sense.
Yeah.
It was a horror movie that made sense. And it was done really, really well. The second one was okay. It was okay. It was going off of the success of the first one, obviously. And that's why they did a sequel. The third and the fourth are just playing on the same bullshit trope that the first ones were. And after you do the first one, and even the second one, it really goes, it really just takes
just
away
nothing
from,
exciting or interesting about him. It's, oh, Sydney's getting hunted down by her past again. What's going to happen? Oh, her mom cheated on her dad? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen.
It's like, I know what you did last summer was creepy, and then I know what you did last summer too. It's just like, what's the point in that?
Yeah.
You know.
I also know what you did last summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Like with Urban Legend, I'm glad they stopped at one. Urban Legend was a decent, it was a Teen Scream movie, which was decent, you know, Teen Scream slasher movie. It was decent, especially for its time. It really hasn't aged well, but it was good. And I'm glad that they stopped at one and didn't continue on.
Yeah, that was a problem with the Wrong Turn series. Really, really, I don't even know how.
It went off the deep end.
It suffered from sequels. It should have stopped at one. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe not have bashed a whole state and put a stigmatism on a state like that. But, it happens. You know, stigmas get put on states that aren't necessarily true. Unless it's California, then it's probably true.
But it's all true in California. Come on now.
Yeah, but anyway, not to be a hypocrite, but yeah, Wrong Turn suffered from sequels.
Yeah, and the remake, which was just awful. Oh, God, it was the crappiest remake that I have seen to date. And
I didn't even know they remade it, and my buddy went out and watched it, and he came back, and he was like, dude, that Wrong Turn movie was trash. I was like, well, no shit. They're old movies. He goes, no, the new one. I was like, what? They made a Wrong Turn 7? He's like, no, they remade it. I was like, what?
Yeah,
why would they remake those?
It was crap. Like, I rented it.
This time, it takes place in Virginia, doesn't it? They didn't go back to West Virginia with it.
Yeah. No, I think they
it was a surrounding state in there. But anyway.
And still, it was god-awful.
Terrible. I didn't even watch it. It's bad.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Anyway. So, one movie that I would like to see more of, just because... So, the first one was really good. First one was really, really... For its time, for the actors... And for the effects, it was a phenomenal movie. The second one was okay. They could have done better. I think they need to bring back the Dredd series. So Judge Dredd, the first one, was really good. It was. The second one did not hold up to it. But... I think they need to either reboot the series or come out with another one that's going to redeem the series, because the Dredd series is there are so many fascinating stories that you could put in there, going off of the first one, and it just could have been a lot better. It could have been an entire series of movies. But the second one killed it.
Yeah. I never watched them, so I don't really have an opinion on those, but I've heard they were fantastic films.
So, I liked them. I liked them. They just kind of were like, eh.
I'm kind of sticking on the horror genre.
Okay.
But there's a horror movie series that I am just fascinated with. And it scares the ever-loving shit out of me. The Jeepers Creepers series.
Yes. Okay, so the third
You can't watch those movies anymore, though, because of the director. I forget what he did, but he did some weird, scandalous sexual assault type things. I don't remember what it was. But basically, he got in trouble in Hollywood pretty bad, and people boycotted his movies. I want to see them make them again without his name attached to it or nothing, because that it just ruins those movies for me. I feel bad watching those, knowing what he did, or, well, I guess I don't know, but
well,
knowing
that, kind of
that is tainted of that, it's just kind of, I don't feel right, you know,
watching,
yeah. I would really like to have that fear again, because those were scary, man. Those were...
They were creepy. The first one... The first one was on the edge of your seat because you didn't see the creature. You didn't see the creature till the end. You know, in all of its glory. The second one was right up there with the first one. I mean, the second one was really, really good. The third one was not all that great. They could have done so much more with the third one.
They are making a fourth one, apparently.
Are they really?
On IMDb, Jeepers Creepers Reborn, 2021. Completed, expected release date 2021. Director Timo, I apologize, I can't pronounce his last name. Verorensola?
Yeah.
Verorensola? It's on IMDb, though. I haven't seen any trailers or nothing for this yet, though.
The thing is there's one writer, there's a director, and there's only one cast.
Mix it.
There's only one person that's been cast.
So are they making it?
I don't know. I mean, they've got... Hold on, let me see if I can find more on...
Because it's so, I mean, they have a whole crew cast, or crew for it on IMDb, listed on IMDb, at least. Which isn't 100% all the time, but. I just think Jeepers Creepers gets forgotten about sometimes, and they were very scary films.
So, they've got a budget. It's supposed to be another trilogy set apart from the first three.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen the third one, but I watched the first and second one.
It's a sequel and a soft reboot.
I believe Jeepers Creepers also takes place around where I live, too, so that's kind of scary on my end, but...
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and, you know, look at the story of these movies.
Oh. Okay. So... Victor Salva was the director of the first one. And he was
he got in trouble, yeah,
of taking liberties with an underage boy.
Yeah, he got charged with pedophilia and other crimes. So,
yeah,
I really don't feel comfortable watching those movies.
No, I can see that. But I would like another...
The big thing in the horror community, people just don't watch Jeepers Creepers anymore because of what he did, which is understandable. I respect it.
I can respect that. I love the movies. I really do. And to a point, I can kind of separate... him from the movies, but at the same time, you know, I don't want to give any credence to him.
Yeah.
So.
I don't even think Jeepers Creepers is on any streaming platforms because of that.
Probably not.
I could be wrong. That might be something you got to find in those, remember those bins at Walmart where it's like $5 and you could find like any movie you wanted?
Yeah.
Hey, you might have to find Jeepers Creepers there.
Yeah. So, I've got two that I want to bring up for sequels.
Yep.
Van Helsing and District 9.
I don't think I've watched District 9, but Van Helsing, I can get on board with that.
Okay.
Are we bringing Hugh Jackman back, though?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I've only seen that movie like twice. I thought he died in the end of it. Or no, he killed his lover on accident, if I'm mistaken.
I will actually have to go back and rewatch it. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it. But I think the same thing with kind of along the same lines as I, Frankenstein. Like, I want to see more of that type of horror come back. I want to see the creature horror. I want to see the old original horrors brought back. I want to see Frankenstein brought back because I think I, Frankenstein was a phenomenal movie. I want to see Van Helsing brought back because I love the story of Dracula that was written by Bram Stoker. I love the legend of Van Helsing. And I think that they could do another one, maybe not bring Hugh Jackman back, but what they could do is they could have a group of monster hunters that are called Van Helsing.
Yeah.
You know, every monster hunter is now called Van Helsing.
Yeah, I kind of want to see a medieval fantasy horror movie, like you said, with like a Dracula type or Frankenstein. Like, I want to see more of those kind of movies.
Yeah. I'm kind of tired of the modern day horrors and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. I love the slasher genre. I'm so excited to see the new Halloween Kills. I want to see Candyman, even though our producer said it really wasn't that good. I'm still going to watch it just because I love the Candyman series. And I love Tony Todd. But I want them to go back to, like you said, some of the medieval type horror where they're using more melee weapons and like bows and crossbows and stuff like that, where it's not set in, modern day times.
Yeah, more of the mythical legend kind of horrors.
Yeah.
That,
I think they need to get back to that.
You may laugh, but the Hotel Transylvania series, the first one, whenever it was set in the castle of Transylvania, I know it technically takes place in modern times, but that feeling that children's movie gives off, even the second one has that same. They are children's movies. I may be crazy, but they are very fun to watch because of the, that era or theme that it has with the castles and the angry mob and stuff like that. And I love that feeling.
I agree. I think the more of the 16th, 17th, 18th century feeling of horror, or even like a movie like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Nick, call me crazy, but I think Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban did a good job of modernizing those kind of creatures, like the werewolves and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know it's not specifically that those monsters, like those old European Frankensteins and stuff like that, but I like how they took the mythical creature of the werewolf and kind of gave it that modern touch while also having like the Hogwarts castle being that 18th century sort of style. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I like how they did that.
Yeah.
It was definitely enjoyable. But yeah.
So, and then District 9. So that was a movie that came out in 2009. It was about aliens coming to Earth seeking refuge. And they were put in basically these ghettos in South Africa. And it's actually a really good movie. I think it's worth a watch. And I would like to see a continuation of it. There were rumors about a District 10 coming out by the same director, Neil Blomkamp. But it never got off the ground, and I kind of want to see it. I kind of want to see it. So, let's see. I'm trying to think of another one. I've got one in my head, but, oh, yeah, okay. So one that I want to see a remake to, I could be crucified. No, I'm going to get crucified by my generation for my last one. But this one, I would get a lot of flack for. I want to see a remake of The Last Starfighter.
Okay. Showing my age. I have no idea what that is.
So, Last Starfighter came out in 1984.
Okay. Basically, before my time.
A little before your time. So basically what it is it's about a kid from Earth that gets recruited by this pilot group, this planet, or this agency that has a bunch of starfighter pilots. They are losing the war. What they did is they set out video games across the universe to recruit people to join their ranks. And he basically beat the video game. And he has to basically fight the bad guys with the last of their big starfighters that is very powerful.
You know, it's crazy. They did remake this movie. It's called Star Wars Episode One: Phantom Menace. It's about this boy on this desert planet who wins this pod race, and, like, he's the only human to ever do it. He's got these special abilities, and then, you know, they take him to get his, you know, special training, and they stick him, and he gets put in this spaceship, and he has to fight the bad guys in this spaceship.
But this
you'll never believe it. He's only a 9-year-old boy.
Well, this was a teenager. Children. This was like a 16, 17, 18-year-old teenager. But this one doesn't turn into, you know, the bad guy and help rule the entire galaxy.
Oh, but the bad guy comes back as a good guy.
Well, yeah. I mean, eventually, after the bad guy's son redeems him.
There's this crazy movie called Star Wars: A New Hope. It came out before that movie that you mentioned. It's about this boy who lives on a desert planet who has special abilities. And there's an old guy who recognizes that. And he, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of his name. His name is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I think I've seen it once or twice.
But, yeah, it's, you know, similar premise. There's no video games or nothing because, you know, Star Wars doesn't have that, or apparently underwear in space, but, you know, it's all fantasy, I guess. Anyway, what's your last one? Hey, go ahead.
I think they need to remake Last Starfighter. So Last Starfighter had the same CGI technology as Tron did. While it may look dated obviously it's going to look dated. If you look at the time period, if you watch it as if you're watching it back in the 80s, then it is phenomenal. The graphics, the special effects, everything is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, if you try to watch it right now and compare it to any CGI movie that we have, you'd be like, I can do better CGI on my phone, which is true. You can. But if you look at it with the technology of the time, it was way ahead of its time. It's like The Matrix. With the bullet time, that was something brand new that was introduced. Now, it's old hat. But if we look at it, when we watch The Matrix again, when we're looking at these special effects, we can appreciate the time it took and the ingenuity it took to come up with some of these shots. And that's what, when you're watching Tron and when you're watching Last Starfighter, those are two big movies that, really brought CGI into the forefront for movie creation. You can appreciate, the level of, ingenuity that they had to have in order to create these effects.
Yeah.
So it's definitely one that deserves a remake if it's done right. So.
Cool. You know what definitely needs another sequel?
What's that?
The Fast and Furious.
Oh, God.
As if it doesn't have enough.
They just kind of need to leave it alone. They need to do a sequel to Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Honestly. They need another one.
Yeah, I heard that one was pretty good. I've seen little snippets and stuff of it.
It's something you need to watch. It's actually really, really good. I liked it. I really did.
One that still terrifies me to this day is the Sinister movie. That first Sinister movie was terrifying. I still get chills watching it. And then they made the second one. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't good.
It wasn't good. It wasn't as scary. But if they could make a third one, almost like a prequel, back in the house that was in the first one and see how that family died and stuff, I think it could be a fantastic movie. Not necessarily a sequel, but a prequel.
I could see that. I can see that.
I feel like that could be a fun movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could be interesting.
I think they could do that.
Yeah. I think a lot of movies anymore, if you make a sequel to it, people are going to gripe about, oh, why'd they make another one of these? Or they're going to say, oh, why did they make one of the sequels of this? It was fine with just the one,
Yeah.
But, fan bases will always want more of what they want.
They need another Sharknado movie.
Oh, definitely. We all have enough of those.
Right? Okay. So I'm going to bring my one in.
Okay.
So for this one, and so...
Have I seen it? Like this series?
I don't know if you have. It's a single movie. I don't know if you have. If you have not, then you're definitely watching it when you come down next.
Okay.
Or before that. It's definitely a movie that needs to be seen. It is a movie that absolutely has to be watched at least once by anybody that loves movies. I can get severely crucified by my generation by saying this. But I've also got the backing of one of the movie's biggest fans. This is Miss Angel's absolute favorite movie in the whole wide world.
Brad. I've seen
yes.
it.
Okay.
I was getting ready to say that. Like, when you said, I'm going to get crucified, I was like, oh, Princess Bride 2. But I wasn't sure. But yeah, I've seen that. I watched it down there last time I was down there.
Okay.
Last Christmas I was down there. I was forced to watch it, but great film.
It is. It is. Now,
I don't know how they would go about it, though.
Okay, hold on. So I'm going to preface this with saying this is not my original idea. I actually am borrowing this idea from somebody off of TikTok. I don't know the original user's name. And I've tried to find it because I think I sent it to Miss Angel, but I can't find it, so I can't give this person credit, and I apologize. But
shout
I am going
to
use, yeah, Mr., you know, perfect
that
movie
guy.
Idea maker. Yeah, that person. But I absolutely agree with how they could do it. So it would be a sequel slash soft reboot slash soft remake.
Oh.
So, hold on.
See, those are, there's very few movies out there that you are allowed to remake or that you're not allowed to remake at all.
I
think the Harry Potter series is one. I think
Absolutely.
The Star Wars series is one.
Absolutely.
I think the Marvel series is one.
Absolutely.
And I think one of the only standalone movies that you are not allowed to touch is Princess Bride. Because that was just a one-and-done banger, boom. It was just there. People loved it. People talk about it to this day. People quote it. It's a great movie.
It's a perfect movie.
And then you get a couple of movie buffs like me and you. Hey, they should make a sequel. We're breaking the one rule.
Okay, it is. Because Wizard of Oz is one of those as well. Like you cannot remake The Wizard of Oz. You cannot do it. It's like
no matter
Breakfast
how
Club.
Hard you try, it's
yeah,
illegal.
It's like Breakfast
the
Club.
Law. I see it right here.
It's illegal
you can't
to
remake those. I feel like Princess Bride is under that umbrella.
It is, but for one exception. Now, go with me. Again, this is not my original idea. I heard about it, and I thought it was a good idea. So the way you do it is you bring back Fred Savage, okay? He's working in an office or somewhere. And he's working with Queen Latifah, okay? Now, Queen Latifah's granddaughter is sick. And she's feeling like crap and, you know, Queen Latifah and Fred Savage are talking because they're, you know, pretty good friends at the office and stuff. And Fred Savage is like, well, you know, when I was sick, my father read me this, or my grandfather read me this book and helped me get better. I loved it and blah, 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 and hands her the book. She goes home and she reads the book, The Princess Diaries, to her granddaughter, and then we get to see the Princess Bride. Wow. And then we get to see the story of the Princess Bride through her granddaughter's eyes. And what you can do is you can bring in Batista to take the role of Andre the Giant.
So it'd be the same as Princess Bride.
It would be the exact same storyline, like the exact same script, but with different actors, because it's the same book. So it's
I can see where you're coming from with that. Like, since it's a different child, then you know it's how children perceive different stories.
Exactly. So it would be Fred Savage passing it on to Queen Latifah, and we get to see it through another child's eyes.
Why Queen Latifah?
That was the actress that they picked, and I think it works perfectly because she can play that loving mother slash grandmother role. And she has that presence on screen to where she would be believable as somebody working with, like, Fred Savage and worrying about her granddaughter. And
there's just might be a problem with making something like that in modern day. So Fred Savage gives a book to Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
I feel like the studios would want to make it from a female's perspective, so they would change, almost like gender swap, the characters in that movie. It would be very modernized, and I don't know how to put it without sounding mean or controversial, but it would get it would just get changed in a way that fits the modern time, I guess.
And that's okay to a point, as long as they don't, like, so one thing that I thought of is that you can bring in, like, say Michael B. Jordan as Wesley. You know,
yeah,
like
that would be.
Robert.
I wouldn't mind that, but like,
if you gender swapped everybody, that would be upsetting. But if you kept the same exact storyline, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I don't think there's been a movie that. I mean, there's been movies that have taken a similar script and like, I mean, just reboots.
Right.
But like a shot for shot. Remake or just same script. Carrie is a very, very small minority of being able to do shot for shot remakes.
Let's be honest, I agree.
Most of them are not great.
You're absolutely right. But I think if it's done,
if they just got to be so careful with it, because if they mess it up.
It would destroy the first one.
It would do the opposite effect. The first one would just be put on an even higher pedestal. People are like, how the hell could you mess this up? It's right here. You have a 2-hour-long tutorial of how to make this movie. People would get so upset with the directors and writers of this hypothetical remake. People would just run that studio into the ground if they messed up Princess Bride.
Absolutely.
It would explode like dynamite in their face if they messed it up. They would have to be so careful.
Which is why no studio has ever touched it. But
good.
I
feel bad for the studio that does.
If they did that, and they did it that way, as a handoff, they have to have Fred Savage. He has to hand the book off to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I think that Queen Latifah would be perfect because it's a totally different look on the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It'd almost be like a Toy Story kind of thing.
Yeah,
I might be crazy, but like Andy in the end of Toy Story 3, Andy handing off his toys to the little girl's name. I don't remember her. But the little girl handing his toys off to the little girl and him kind of moving on. It could be a similar thing with Fred Savage handing off the book and kind of moving on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be extremely hilarious if he went out and bought her an audiobook.
Or downloaded it onto an iPad.
Yeah, so I hear there's a story called Princess Bride. Just Google it and you'll find it.
But no, it would have to be the original book, because at the end, Queen Latifah would have to try and give it back to Fred Savage, and Fred Savage would be like, you know, no, you keep it, hand it off to your kids, because Fred Savage doesn't have kids, which is why he handed it off. You know,
the confusing part. I didn't know how they would. So wouldn't he either give it to his children or, like, somewhere in his family if that book was so important to him?
Right. But he has a special bond, like I said, with Queen Latifah. And, you know, maybe her granddaughter is, you know, sick with something. I don't know.
Just COVID. I'm sorry, that was inappropriate.
It was funny. It's okay. It's our show. We can do whatever we want. But I think that, you know, if you, like at the end, she tries to hand the book back and says, you know, hey, my granddaughter's feeling better. Thank you so much. And he says, you know, you keep it. Pass it on to your granddaughter so that she can read it to her granddaughter and her daughter or her son and her children. You know, because I never had children of my own and I wanted to pass it on. You know what I mean? I think that would be such a touching moment, especially at the end of the movie. You know what I mean? It's like passing, it's like this story has such a tremendous and profound impact on, you know, on kids that it makes them feel better.
It's almost like the Cat in the Hat.
Or the Neverending Story.
Yeah.
So I think that is the only way, if they did it shot for shot and if they got the right people to play the parts that are essential, you know. I mean, you couldn't get Billy Crystal to do the weird old guy again, but maybe you could bring back Mandy Patinkin. Maybe he could play the old guy. He's not all the way dead. He's just mostly dead. I think that would be phenomenal. If they could do it right, and that's the only thing, they would have to do it right. If they messed it up in any way, shape, or form, if they changed even the smallest thing, it would ruin the entire movie.
Yeah.
But that's my last one.
It's not a bad one to end on.
It's not, and I hope I don't get crucified by, you know, people in my generation. So.
Or people in the house.
Or people in the house. Yeah.
You'd be right.
But like I said, I've talked to Miss Angel about it, and she thinks that again, if it was done the right way, then it could be done. If you do it, if you don't forget about the other one, if you don't label it.
If you try to do a reboot, like a normal Hollywood reboot, and try to, you know, mess it up.
Just kind of forget the other one, then you're going to fuck it all up.
Netflix, keep your hands off of this. I swear to God.
Right?
Nobody needs you to touch the movie, please.
No. Netflix, leave it alone. Although Steven Spielberg could do it. I could see Steven Spielberg being a producer on this. Rob Reiner was the director. Was it Rob Reiner? I think Rob Reiner was the director of the first one. And I think Steven Spielberg could produce it. I think Amblin Entertainment could have a hand in it and do it well.
It could be good if they do it. Like, if this hypothetical situation becomes real, then it could be really, really well.
Honestly, I don't remember his name, but I think they could bring Ivan Reitman's son, because he's the one that's doing the Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
He has that touch of the old. And kind of make it new, because I'm excited about the new Ghostbusters movie. I think if they bring in Ivan Reitman's son and Steven Spielberg produced it under Amblin Entertainment, I think it could work. I really do. So, but we're down to our last, actually, 3 minutes now. So this was a good show.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
This was a really good show. I enjoyed tonight. I enjoyed our caller. I enjoyed our conversation, as always. We really had some good conversations tonight.
Some great movies that need sequels immediately.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Some that don't.
Yeah, some you just need to leave alone. Just don't touch them at all. Ever. Like, ever. Like, your studio will catch on fire spontaneously if you try to remake The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Or The Breakfast Club. Or The Princess Bride. In any other way, shape, or form than we have discussed. If you're not going to do that, leave it alone. Because it's a phenomenal movie. It's perfect. Anyway.
If you think it's a bad idea, then newsflash.
It's a bad idea. Don't do it. You will lose money. Your company will go broke and go under. All right, we're down to the last 2 minutes of our show. I want to thank Alex again for being with me tonight. I want to thank our producer, as always, and our stage manager, our researcher, and all that. Thank you, Austin. I want to thank our caller earlier, Matthew. Thank you very much. All of our listeners, all of our supporters, all of our followers, we greatly appreciate you guys. We wouldn't continue doing this without you. We really wouldn't. I also want to say, please support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. There are really good ones out there. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on with Curiosity Media, every Sunday night for Movie of the Week, every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace Podcast, every Wednesday night for The Cinephiles, and every Friday night for Note by Note. I want you guys to enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night. Have a fantastic week. And for BTS, we'll see you back here next Sunday. Have a great night.
Good night.
What the hell? I really have to organize this. All right.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. Y'all have a good night.
Strip it down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. It's not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. Packing up all your things to leave, and these will be all